It is, of course, fall, so all the movies are coming out at the same time.
Right, right. Consecutive.
And so we made a special Monday night trip all the way across town through the worst traffic that you can get in our town to see Jojo Rabbit.
Jojo Rabbit, only playing in one theater here right
now.
We've been waiting for this one to come because it's played in, obviously, advanced screenings all over the world.
Right.
And in Nashville and Atlanta and Huntsville and other places that have
the big cities. They've been playing there at the big cities.
Well, you know, we're a little smaller here in Chattanooga.
Just a little bit.
So we finally got it.
I have a feeling that they're a little worried that anti-Nazi sentiment might not be as popular in...
Wow, you're going there.
I'm going there just a little bit. Yeah,
you're going there.
I think it's a little bit of a marketing decision. At the same time, I'm super excited that it came. Taika Waititi, of course, wrote and directed this.
Yes, coming off the heels of, a lot of things, actually.
Lots
but mainly
of things.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
We know him from what we do
in
the Shadows.
No, we know him best as the IG robot from the new show Mandalorian.
Mandalorian, yeah.
So, that's his big breakout role.
He's the Kiwi from down, neighbor of Down Under. He's a New Zealander. He, you've been a fan of him for a while.
Long time.
Hunt for Wilder People.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Boy, and, What We Do in the Shadows was my introduction to him. But Thor Ragnarok really launched him.
Yes.
And he was one of three Marvel actors in this movie.
He was indeed.
Yes. We also had Scarlett Johansson.
Right. We had Black Widow. And then, of course, most importantly, we had Hammer.
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Iron Man 2.
And what's funny is there was an interview with Sam where he goes, I think this is going to be the last movie I play a racist. I'm tired of being typecast.
He's really done a lot of that, didn't he? With
he's
the Three Billboards movie.
He's done a bit.
And the other one.
Yeah, the problem is, you sound like I do. And
he's
just sort of gets typecast
he's
a little
good.
Bit.
We also have Stephen Merchant in this, English actor. And
all 7 feet of him.
Yeah, he is really
he
tall.
He's super tall.
He's super, super tall.
It's so
he's
funny.
A skinny guy. He's friends with like Ricky Gervais. He did some things like, The Idiot Abroad, show. Tall, skinny guy. And who else was in this movie? Anybody else besides the...
We had...
famous people.
No,
the
super
kids.
Famous from Game of Thrones, of course.
Alfie Allen.
Alfie Allen was in here.
Reek.
Which was a hilarious part that he had. he
really
was the ultimate wingman. And I got to say, he was great. And then, of course, Rebel Wilson, everyone's favorite Australian comedian.
Rebel Wilson.
So this movie actually had a rather stacked deck in
Pretty
terms
much.
Of the adults that were in it. But they weren't the focus of the movie.
Right, the
focus
stars.
Is Jojo, Little Johannes.
This is his first movie.
First movie, which that kid knocked it out of the park.
Yes.
I'll just show my cards here. He knocked it out of the car, and I want to call her Inga, but she was actually Elsa.
Thomasin McKenzie, who I knew from Leave No Trace.
Okay.
The movie came a couple years ago with Ben Foster, a little independent movie.
Sure.
She's been in some stuff. She's got a career. But, they are the focus of this movie.
Yes.
And this is a coming-of-age told from his perspective. The boy, he was 10. And
10 years old, and it's the last 6 months of the war.
Of World War II, when Germany's basically recruiting anything and everything that can hold a gun.
Including German shepherds. Not the dogs.
Literal German
actual
shepherds.
Actual German shepherds. So the trick of this movie, and the reason why I like Taika Waititi, is that he does such a good job of not committing to one genre. He is so good at genre bending.
Yeah.
He's so good at, being funny and then also being touching and then also being terrifying. I was really impressed with his script because this story would have been really hard to tell without the right person guiding it. And, of course, it helps that he wrote and directed it and the right people acting it. Every single role was cast perfectly for this movie.
I really do think so. And I think he's been probably sitting on the script for a while
and
finally got that Thor Ragnarok paper.
I was about to say.
That money
coming in. You don't think Fox Searchlight was banging down the door for this
one? I think the log line for this was like, are you kidding me? No, Like, everything about this movie says don't make this.
Right.
It's Nazi satire.
Most important part is we have imaginary Hitler. And if you've seen the trailer, I'm not spoiling anything. Imaginary Hitler plays a very important role.
Played by Taika Waititi, he plays him.
He plays him himself. Because who would you possibly get to play this?
Yes.
You might as well just fall on that sword yourself.
He's Jojo's imaginary friend that is all about the propaganda and all about the brainwashing. And come on, little Jojo, And he's there obviously for humor.
Right. But at the same time, he also had the most gut-wrenching scene. When he did the actual English translation of a Hitler speech in that kitchen with exact hand. Clearly, he sat there and he learned the hand movements and everything.
Yes, yes. So he did his homework. Yes, he, the accent, the Kiwi accent is not totally lost, but you know, it's not meant to be. We're not meant to totally believe that this is a.
This kid has never actually met Hitler. He wouldn't really know what his conversational tone is.
Right. Whoever the kid, I don't know what his best friend Yogi, whatever it was.
Yorgi was the best.
Scene ceiling kid.
Yorgi was the best.
Definitely not a good time to be a Nazi. I mean, he's just got the wonderful one liners. Like, I want to see more of that kid.
I'm not Hitler trapped in a fat kid's body. I'm a kid trapped in a fat kid's
body.
He's
like the Far Side kid.
Yes.
But, you know, Germany style.
I hope that we see him again.
I hope
so too. Every bit part, anyone who had a speaking line in this movie was great. Even
was
all
fun.
The way down to the annoying German Biff from Back to the Future kid. That is just, you know, everything, every person was able to solicit some sort of emotion at every single
part. Little caricature thing. This is straight up a satire movie. It has some dramatic parts, some very sad, tragic parts. Yeah. But overall, this is a satire looking at, and I don't think we've seen it this level. I mean, the closest thing I can actually think of is like Inglourious Basterds, because it was a humorous look at Nazis to an extent. This obviously took it to another
Kelly's
level.
Kelly's
Heroes, okay, yeah.
No, Inglourious
Basterds. Or Hogan's Heroes.
That too. Absolutely. So all the different
heroes
movies,
heroes
if you will.
Heroes and Bastards,
and
now Rabbits. This was a comedy. I followed under comedy, but it had heavy moments.
Yeah. Well, and that's what makes the actual comedy stand out. That's instead of it just being saccharine sweet or just being funny, haha, there was actual emotional investment here.
Yes.
And so that made it so when the next funny thing happened, that was such a big journey from where you were to where you're going.
Well, it made it unpredictable.
That it made it feel better.
It's unpredictable, which is what I look for in movies these days. That, like you said, are kind of genre free.
Yes.
Like what Parasite was.
Right.
Like you're not knowing where's it going to head. Oh, and then when that sad scene happens that we're not going to talk about, you don't expect it. I'd be like, well, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I knew something that was going to come, but I didn't know it was going to be that.
Right.
So that hit me. And
so remember, this is your new spoiler-free Alan Smithy.
Yeah,
so if you like it,
too much.
Let us know on the Facebook, because we're both bursting at the seams to talk about stuff. So let us know on Facebook. All right. So let's step back. So Taika has a style.
He has a style.
You really saw it in The Wilder People.
You saw it too.
You saw a little bit of a darker comedy style with what they do in The Shadows. But he has a visual storytelling that I would actually compare to a un-outrageous Wes Anderson.
Exactly what I was thinking. Because the first scenes of this movie, you're like, well, there's a lot of symmetry here. The color palette, the very ultra focused throughout. There's like the depth of field is all there. We can see everything.
But it's not twee.
It's
like
not-
you don't expect for Zooey Deschanel to start busting out a ukulele solo. Like it's just tastefully put together.
I didn't hear one Kink song.
Right.
There's lots of things in this that remind you of Wes Anderson, but I wouldn't call it a copy. I think there's influence there.
Right, there's
influence from a lot of other directors, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
Artists borrow from themselves all the time. But Taika has enough of a strong theme and enough of a style on his own that you're going to see more of this. And I think this is not the last baby, you know, what's called personal project of his.
Right.
You know, he's got in the vault.
Sure.
He's got a lot to say, and this was obviously kind of the first launch of that going out, like much like Kevin Smith puts a lot of himself into the movies.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi does the same thing. So he's obviously harboring a lot of internal feelings.
Right.
And this isn't just about Nazi Germany, by the way.
No.
This is almost like a timeless movie, which is ironic because it takes place in Nazi Germany.
Right.
But there's a lot of themes in this that you can carry over into other generations, and I kind of think that's why he chose to do this now, on top of having all that Ragnarok money.
Right. Well, and that's the other piece was that, like, I came out swinging the first couple seconds of this podcast, he had something he wanted to say.
Yeah.
And instead of it being preachy, instead he was just simply saying, hey, you know how absurd it is to be this stupid? You know how hard you have to work? Like, how much effort you have to expend to be this dumb?
It's poking a lot of fingers at I'm going to eat my unicorn dinner. Like, it's
right.
Like, the things that they made people believe back then are so extreme. But the thing is, like, a lot of the things that you hear in this movie, actually were taught to people.
Yes.
They actually believe these things about the Jewish race, about other non-Aryan cultures.
Yes.
And
the Russians, we have to be careful because they're going to come and screw all our dogs.
Right, yeah. We're going to kill us, our dogs are put in danger. Like, the brainwashing was so prevalent and it was so attractive.
Yeah.
And to be part of a group and a tribe and to be the peer pressure.
Well, and thank goodness that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
And we have solved that.
We've abolished all of that in today's culture.
Absolutely. No red markers of any kind for political affiliation.
Nationalism is dead.
Completely. Yes. So good news. So this is sort of just a history piece, you know, just back in the day sort of thing.
Yeah. So that's all why you say mixed. I'm sure there's going to be a mixed reaction from the crowd. It's not quite to the extent of like Black Klansmen did, you know, but it's out there.
I think there's going to be less of a mixed reaction because I think this movie, due to the way it's being released and the way it's being marketed, I think the only people that are going to see it kind of already know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Everyone else that will judge it harshly will never see this movie because they're literally the people being lampooned by this movie. The people that prejudge things without having information.
I don't get it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears out of the plot just a little bit because I think we could go on with that for like an hour.
And we don't want to spoil anything.
We don't want to spoil it. So Scarlett Johansson's best performance ever?
No.
All right. So what is?
No. What was the best performance in this movie?
No. What was Scarlett Johansson's best performance?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure I could even tell you one. Yeah,
Jojo Rabbit's the answer for that.
Yeah. I think she's just Scarlett. She was cast for this partially for her Aryan looks, and she plays a good motherly. You know, Rosie is her character, and she's the mother of JoJo. She's fine. I've never been amazed by her really in any role. I think she's fine in the Marvel movies.
Okay,
but you know, she can act.
So what Ben's saying is that she's not that great. But this wasn't the best of what she's had to offer.
Right, and I'm sorry I don't have her whole IMDb in front of me.
You're going straight lost in translation. She hasn't made good sense.
No, she was fine in that, too, yeah. I mean, she was just there, right? The ones that grabbed me in this movie, Stephen Merchant.
Right.
Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
The two kids, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'll even say that Alfie Allen was funny. Because he had
great.
He had a tough job because he had to play second fiddle to Sam Rockwell's character. He had to play, like, this kind of nuanced, really kind of subtle,
and
bouncing
was
off him.
He didn't play the straight man. Like
he was
I know, but he was like, you know, in comedy, he was the straight man to Sam Rockwell. The problem was that Sam played it up to like 11, so all Alfie had to do was be like a 9, and so he was a straight man, but he was still funny.
Is Rebel Wilson good at anything but being herself?
Hey, she had a German accent this time. She had a better German accent than Scarlett.
She had a better German accent than Scarlett, yes. But she's always just going to be Rebel Wilson.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Loud, obnoxious.
Hey, kids, let's go burn books.
Yeah. She was funny. She had great physical chops in this movie. I will give her that.
And that's sort of her thing. She is a physical comedian. I think she actually is weakest when they're relying on her eloquence and verbosity.
Right.
She's
Ooh.
Much better when she's Chris Farleying the screen and falling through tables and burning.
Very
yeah.
much so.
So she's great at it.
She shakes that
and
thing.
And she knows it, and she owns it, and she really brought that to this
movie.
That's
her shtick. That's definitely her shtick. She's the Chris Farley of modern day you know, physical comedians. So it's fine, but I think Sam Rockwell is
say
my
that,
favorite, though.
For me, it was Yogi was my favorite. I love that kid. Every scene he stole everything. Every scene he was in, he was great. This kid, if he's allowed to continue acting, is his generation's Danny DeVito.
I love him. You see him in the trailer. He was that kind of pudgy kid with a really round like Harry Potter glasses.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not a good time to be a Nazi. I mean, he's only given like 12 lines in the whole movie.
Right.
But he's always
every
a
one
stealer.
Of them is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know the main kid, JoJo and Elsa, they were that dynamic was great. I love the fact that they fostered this sort of romantic piece, mm-hmm. but they kept it so that it was never gross. Because movies can make that teenager thing, they can over-sexualize it and it kind of gets gross.
Yeah,
instead,
they didn't make any cheap moves.
Yeah.
They let it just be the tension that was carried because a lot of characters in the movie have that arc and you're not sure where it's going to land.
Right.
You think, okay, well, the JoJo kid is like this extreme. He's all brainwashed. He's all about the Nazism. He's got his imaginary Hitler friend. He's all about it.
Yeah.
He's loving it. But Germany's not doing great.
Yeah, it's like the first line. We're on our back foot and things aren't looking great, but hey, we're going to win anyway.
Apparently everything's fine.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the first half an hour of this movie is some of the best writing I've seen in any movie this year.
Yep.
Just because it's on the nose. This is satirical. This is how Germany really thought of themselves on the latter days of World War II. And having it told from perspective of a 10-year-old boy,
right?
I don't know if that's been done before. It goes back to my point about the log land, this movie being sold to producers. Like, are you sure? Hey, I'll front all the money. Okay, good. Do what you want.
So basically what you're saying, this was pitched as Neverending Story but Nazi Germany.
Goodness.
But that's pretty much the only other big movie I can think of that was told from one 10-year-old boy's perspective.
Oh, man.
Hey, man. You look at Thor Ragnarok. Clearly, Taika's all about the 80s. So I'm just going to let that one slide.
Yeah, and Taika's, I mean, the themes of his stories, we talk about about family.
Sure.
Right? Having that, and families that are kind of torn apart and trying to bring back together right. again. We saw that with Hunt for Wilder People.
Yeah.
Even what we do in the shadows, a makeshift family.
Even Thor and Ragnarok,
even
man.
Thor Ragnarok.
Getting those
yeah.
two brothers back
the
together.
The ragtag, yes, two brothers. So yeah. we see more of that here because these are families that are torn apart from each other and trying to find bonds and humanity back with each other.
Right.
And it's told in a very sly way, almost like a sideways look at things from people that are very conflicted.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. So showing that from that perspective is interesting to me.
So let's talk about, let's shift gears to cinematography.
Sure.
And we said that he has a theme. He also is clearly in the editing room because the comic timing is something you can really screw up in the editing room. So clearly he's writing that piece too. What do you think about the editing in this movie?
I thought it was fine. I thought it was great. I thought it was it, and that kind of goes hand in hand with like the cinematography in this, with the low angles of things and
yeah.
using framing of the room and using the house as a character itself
and putting the camera at the height of a 10-year-old boy.
Right,
seeing
very
the
much
world
so.
At that angle.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
So
I thought that created the reason why I brought it up that created several different very powerful stories or very powerful scenes.
Well, especially the scene that we're not going to talk about.
Especially
yeah.
that scene. But also, you know, his interactions with Elsa and her little hidey hole,
mm-hmm.
like all of that the, when they introduced her and she's doing all the hands thing to be extra creepy.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
there was lots of ways to shoot to put you in that 10-year-old's feet.
He
was really impressive.
He was a very involved director with every little nuanced thing that was purposeful.
Yeah.
Like, walking through, you're going to walk this way into this room. You're
right.
going to use your body language this way. So the characters stand apart from each other that
mm-hmm.
way. The Alfie Allen character with Sam Rockwell,
oh, yeah.
where they're standing around each other, where their body movements with each other. The swimming pool scene alone. I mean, jeez, with Hitler swimming sideways. Whee!
Yes.
Like,
so, right.
Hitler, he just had a ball with this. He's like, awesome. Okay, let's do take 37 just for funsies.
Right.
I'm going to do a little different this time.
I'm going to do this as the only green screen in the movie.
I would love just to see, like, I would watch a whole movie just of like bloopers and like outtakes.
Oh, yeah.
And like second reel
well,
stuff.
Tyka's also known for improvising a lot of stuff, so that's
yeah.
something that's interesting. I'd be curious to see. I imagine Sam, he showed up to set and Sam probably said, hey, where's my script? And Tyka went, no, you're Nazi, do things.
This has to happen in the scene. Get there. Yes, dance, get there. The
All
use
right.
of slow motion and everything. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun movie.
Absolutely.
Editing-wise, it didn't bother me. Cinematography-wise, I think it was the same guy who did The Master.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a nice palette there, rich colors, that strong Nazi red, black, you know,
yeah.
some gray in there, strong pronounced browns. The music I heard was the same guy from like Lost, Michael Giacchino.
Yep, that's correct.
Didn't bother
now,
me.
He did the score. The score was, I thought the score was great. The soundtrack, though.
The soundtrack. The
starting off with the footage of Hitler landing at an airport and it's set to the Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand
in German.
But this is the whole course. He didn't do that again. There were different songs that you'd hear, but he would do these little post-war rock music vignettes whenever there was key points where the scenes were changing.
Yes.
Leading up to the end with the Heroes by David Bowie in German as part of his Berlin sessions. People don't realize that Bowie left London to go to Germany for his Thin White Duke areas.
Wow.
And his whole character was actually an Aryan fascist. And it was such, like, if you know all this, it's just like, whoa, look,
first
at these are real
I love that they did that. I like when they take German, not German, any popular song
oh,
and
yeah.
mix it up with a cover or a different language. We've seen that with other movies, like even Eurotrip.
The entire soundtrack to The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou?
Yes, yes, yeah, the Portuguese version of Bowie songs, yes. So, but it makes me wonder, like, what did Germany steal and claim as their own, much like what North Korea sometimes does these days, of like, mm-hmm. oh, we did this, and this is our music, and the great leader did this, and
right.
and everybody loves him, how could you not? He doesn't have one ball, he has four, and
yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, just little things like that in the age of misinformation and lack of telecommunications, what people believed.
Right.
And it's just fascinating how people are just, oh, okay, yeah, well, that it must be true.
Yes.
If my mother says it, my father says it, if the German army says it, it must be true.
Right.
It must be true. How can I think anything else but that? So it's interesting to get reminded of that.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to go back and think and look and research what else Germany may have done. Because obviously this is satire. I'm sure liberties are taken.
Sure.
But it's not too far off the mark from what I've read in my own history books in
right,
high school.
Right, right, right.
They did take 10 and 12-year-olds off the streets and give them guns.
Oh, yeah.
They were down to bare bones at the end of both World Wars.
Yes.
So I don't know. Is that a historical piece, a satire? I enjoy someone being irreverent like that.
Sure.
And not taking things too seriously and I guess making us think.
Our other World War II option would have been Midway, and I don't think it was nearly as funny.
And did you see it? I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Yeah. I know you're big on that. You saw the original Midway.
I saw the original, and it meant a lot to me because it was my original number two movie on the Alan Smithy scale, watching it on television.
Interesting.
Because it was always on TBS growing up. It's just they ran on a loop because it was, I don't know.
I'm just curious about Woody Harrelson playing Nimitz in that.
Right.
But I digress.
Yeah.
We'll see it maybe later. And
yeah, we'll get to that. Who knows, though? There's so many movies coming out this fall.
Yeah.
It's so hard to choose, Ben, because there's so many movies.
Well, it's Oscar season.
I know, but Ben, you have to understand, man, it's very difficult for me to choose.
What could you be saying right now, Damien?
If only I had some sort of way of knowing where to put my hard-earned money on which of these myriad of movies that are coming out. How am I going to know, Ben?
I'm as lost as JoJo right now from where you're going with this.
Who knows? It's possible. What if, and I'm going out on a limb here, what if I propose, say, a 4-point scale? Not 5. That seems like too much. It seems like something Hitler would do. We're going to do 4. We're going to do a 4-point scale where 4 is like really wanting to go see the movie and 1 is running away screaming like JoJo did when they broke that rabbit's head and threw it in the woods.
What a sad scene.
And then he threw a grenade at himself.
These are not the sad scenes we're talking about earlier, by the way. These are just little things.
These are just little things. So what we're going to do is I'm going to propose, and this is like, you shoot me down, you tell me if I'm right, okay?
I'll shoot you down like the B-23 bombers. And
A 4 is see it in the theater. Now, this is a tall order because this is a limited release movie. It's hard. You're not only going to have to pick out clothes to wear to go to the movie theater. You're going to have to go to a movie theater that you may not always go to.
And risk sitting next to a loud popcorn eater like I did. Basically, blood pressure rising.
Like, everyone was either stand-up comics, they all had Tourette's, or they were eating all the popcorn in the world. That's a 4, sitting in the theater. 3 is streaming. Now, this is Fox Searchlight, and so I'm not too sure how an anti-Nazi movie is going to go well on Disney Plus due to Walt Disney's predilections, but it's possible.
you're just casting those lines.
Hey, man, at Disney Plus, if you want to sponsor us, I'll let that out. So 3 is streaming. You got a lot of options. Who knows what it'll be on, but it'll definitely be on a streaming service at some point. So if you can't make it to the theater or we don't think it's good enough for you to go to the theater, just go ahead and stream it, man. Just sit back. Eat your own 1,000 pounds of popcorn. You won't bother Ben. He won't be there. It'll be great.
I won't be there.
2 is watch it on TV. This movie will never appear on television. It is possible that it'll be on HBO
be on
or
HBO,
Showtime or something.
Yeah, but it won't be on network TV.
I don't actually consider premium cable to be TV because you have to subscribe to it. And at that point, when you subscribe to HBO, you get the streaming service.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So 2 is wait for it to come on ABC Thursday night movie.
This will not come on ABC. this won't even. This may reach like TNT one day.
One day it'll be on IFC.
Yeah.
50
this
years
is not
from now.
Going to be anywhere near. I mean, go to your Redbox.
Right. Yeah. And then 1 is grab your hair, tear it out, make your mustache just the little things underneath your nose, and run away screaming
like the Nazis did from Russia.
Like
the
Nazis did from the Russia and the Allies, and just pretty much everyone.
Schnell, run away!
Just run away! I'm gonna go hide in my bunker. Everyone else poisoned themselves. Okay, now I'll shoot myself because I'm a coward. So 1 is run away screaming. So Ben, what do you think about this scale for just helping our listeners make this economic decision?
Well, you know, I mean, this is just one of those scales that just if the supreme leaders don't make it, you're gonna.
Right.
It's that accurate, that trustworthy out
Fantastic.
There. People need to know where.
Yes.
All the movies out there, right?
Yeah. So many.
You got Downton Abbey still playing. Frozen 2
is
coming out.
Holy crap!
I mean, there's movies left and right that are just like, where do I go? So
what are we gonna do?
I would say this scale is definitely reliable.
Okay.
Definitely the way you want to go.
All right.
If you want to, you know, have a great time in a movie, you got to see this one in the theater because it's a 4 for me.
It's a 4 for Ben. Oh, my gosh. Well, all right. So I'm struggling with this one. It was funny, and it was really well shot, and all the actors were great. The music was amazing, and the writing was perfect. And this was Scarlett Johansson's best performance. And
since Iron Man 2.
Please. And this is one of Sam Rockwell's best performances, although he will never be able to beat Zaphod Beeblebrox in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. This unfortunately only gets a 4 for me. Of course it does. This movie's amazing. This movie's amazing. But the question I have for you, Ben, now that we've both established 4s, you said a statement before we walked in that I want to see if now that you've experienced this movie, if you stand by it.
Okay.
You said this movie will probably not be an Oscar contender. Do you still feel that way now?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what category, you know, it could fit into. But I don't think it will. I still don't think it will.
I don't think it'll be a winner, but I do think it'll get nods. I think it will get nominated.
Maybe for editing.
I think editing is 100% there. I think possibly because this year's been a little weak on cinematography. There's some, like I said, there's definitely movies that are better.
Parasite.
It'll win. Yeah. Well, Parasite won't win because it's not a foreign language.
The cinematography in there is incredible.
I know, 100%. But the trick is, like, this year's been a little weak on the artistic.
So far, we saw that Terrence Malick preview coming out. Very true. Whatever it is, Hidden Life. That looks amazing for photography.
So, you know, it's possible. Anderson gets nods and he never wins. Maybe that.
He wins for other things. He wins for, like, score and art direction and cinematography and things like that, but not for direction. I think he got writing once, though, from Budapest Hotel, perhaps. Yeah, anyway.
So, you know, first off, I think that the script will actually do rather well. Unfortunately, it's a comedy, and Oscar hates comedy.
Yeah, original screenplay it may get. I'd say that it's probably his best shot. Editing is a secondary. I don't know about cinematography. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't see it as a front runner just because I didn't see anything that awesome. Because Oscar, with that category, they're a little snobbish with the Oscars.
So you're saying Lighthouse all year. 100%.
Lighthouse is great. Yeah,
I know. But I'm saying, like, when you're looking for snobbish cinematography that's overblown, look how great I am.
Yeah, like, it's this year's Cold War.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's right, great. It's good. It's got a lot of great things going for it. It has a lot of just great star power. Yeah. All the elements are there. And honestly, this was actually a 3 until that one key moment with his perspective, and he sees something. I'm like, oh man, they just did that.
That was next level.
Yeah, it was really a strong point in the movie, and that's where it got mature, and like it was saying something very profound at that point.
Well, and the entire movie's tone changed around that. Like it was building it. They didn't blindside you. It was still a surprise, but you knew that first off, it's sort of like watching Titanic. I'm not too sure the ship's going to make it to New York.
Something bad's going to happen.
We kind of have an idea how World War II ended for Germany.
Yeah, a little bit. So. This is not a retelling of things as Tarantino did.
Right.
Even there's no big liberties taken. Things that happened. The Russians did come and invade, in Germany, even though this was filmed in the Czech Republic.
Sure.
But you could take any kind of Scandinavian or
you're looking for that architecture still in existence.
Yeah.
You kind of got to go
paint some Nazi flags up there, and you're good to go.
All right, so this is a 4 from Ben. This is a 4 from Damien. But, listeners, we have 2 treats for you tonight.
Woo!
2 big treats. Yes. Ben, do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
Sure. We're going to move on to a couple mini reviews.
So if you were just here for Jojo Rabbit, pack it in. You're done. Go to Alan Smithy Film Review on Facebook or alansmithyreview.com. Leave comments. Let us know what you think. Otherwise, strap in and get ready for Ben's first mini review for
Dr. Sleep. You probably saw trailers for this. Ewan McGregor is in it. It is the long after, almost 40 years after, sequel. And it is a sequel to The Shining. 1980 Stanley Kubrick movie with Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall, Scatman Crothers, and the little whoever played the kid, Danny.
Yep.
This is a direct sequel to that, but it also ties in elements from the book. And the director had a very tough job to meld those two together because, as you probably heard, Kubrick and King did not really agree on that movie. King hated the movie. Stephen King was not a big fan. And the director had to make a sequel that he wanted to honor both the book and the movie, and both because Kubrick's dead. Yeah. King approved of it.
Right.
So this takes place with an older Danny. Danny's now old,
and,
but he's still
Scottish.
Haunted by I'm usually bothered by Ewan McGregor's American accent. He's improved over the years.
Okay, good.
He's done better.
Good.
And it's an older version of Danny, and he's still haunted by the demons. He still has this shining in him, and he's exploring more of the world, and he's been an alcoholic for a while. He's an AA because he's trying to drown those demons.
Okay.
But he's getting more of a sense there's more people out there with this shining, and the thing about the movie that's great is that it explores more of the universe of The Shining and answers a few questions from it.
I'm not
going to go too much into the plot other than he has to revisit those demons and he has to connect with other people and help them escape this other third party that are basically shining, consuming vampires that are out there. It sounds ridiculous, but it works.
Makes sense.
This movie had a tough, tough job because you're not going to equal Stanley Kubrick's Shining. Yeah. It's too tall of an order and you shouldn't even try because you just look like you're copying it.
Sure.
So it's a worthy sequel that does a good job because the horror level is there. There are some scenes in this movie with kids, very dark, violent
scenes.
Family
movie. All right.
It's not. It doesn't pull any punches, which is what The Shining didn't do either. The Shining didn't pull punches. You want to see, Scatman Crothers open up with an axe?
Yep.
You're going to get that here kind of thing. So it's a dark movie. It's horrific at parts. It's not perfect. I had a few issues with it, but overall, stylistically, I was all about it. I'm going to own this one on 4K one day. It is a four for me. It is fantastic.
So go, unlike all of the rest of America, go to the theater. And
I don't
see
know
Doctor
what is
Sleep.
Their problem. They want to go see Frozen 2, I guess.
Well, actually, they went and saw Ford versus Ferrari. They didn't even go see Charlie's Angels, so it was an interesting pick.
So what did you see?
Well, fascinatingly enough, not only did I see Jay and Silent Bob, the reboot, I saw it at the Walker Theater here in Chattanooga, and it was hosted by Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes.
Nice, Snoochie Boochies.
And not only did he go really long on introing thing and just talking to us in Chattanooga, and then we watched the film, and he's filming us watching the film, and then he then has
I get that. That's
he
fun.
Then has a Q&A that goes so long that the start time for the next showing, they had to tell Kevin, get these people out of here, the people ready to get
so
in.
So doors open, time you left. How much time are we talking about?
4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was worth it.
And the movie's like 90 minutes, awesome. Right?
Yeah. And so this is 100% fan service. And don't think that that's a bad thing, because that's actually the purpose of the movie.
So the plot is?
The plot is, well, did you see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
Yes.
That's the plot. It's the same plot.
Okay.
Literally the same plot, but there's a new subset.
So uber meta.
So do you remember... I can't say it. We're a family podcast.
Oh, can
you do Boo Boo Kitty F? Do you remember her?
Yes.
Well, apparently she and Jay hooked up.
I've heard that phrase for a while.
She and Jay hooked up, and he has a daughter.
Right.
So it's about the story of him coming to terms with the fact that he didn't even know he had a daughter while he's trying to get to Chronicon to...
okay, not Comic-Con.
Right, to keep the reboot of the movie from the first movie from happening.
Wow.
Because the movie theater stole their names.
Do you think he wrote this plot when he was high?
No. Well, that's the best part about this is that...
Because the podcast I heard mostly, with Kevin Smith was high the entire time.
Yeah. Mostly he wrote this in response to his heart attack.
Yeah,
he wrote
this
100% during his recovery from that heart attack. When he realized just how good he's had it, he realized just how important the fans were to him. And sure, towards the end of that recovery, he probably, I'm not saying that there was no pot smoked in this movie. Pot's 100% part of this movie. You can't have a movie with them without it. But it was freaking amazing. It was super fun. And the simple fact is that if you don't like Kevin Smith movies or you don't like Jay and Silent Bob, then this is a hardcore one for you.
Yeah, I can imagine
bringing
so.
That out.
Yeah, you have to like these guys and like
and
their humor.
You probably are an Xer that watched those movies in high school and college, maybe a little after college, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Mallrats, the original
Clerks.
Those
are more middle of the road. If you like, Clerks 2 especially,
right.
Or Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, that's their gallows, real, honest, raw Jay and Silent Bob humor that you have to go along with the ride because it's ridiculous and stupid, but if it's funny to you, it's kind of like what Borat was. If you get it, it's funny.
Yes.
Here's my question for you.
Okay.
Seeing these movies come out, like this is obviously... 30 years of Kevin Smith movies. You watched Clerks growing up, Mallrats. You knew the young Jay and Silent Bob. When I see a trailer for this movie, it reminds me a little bit of like the Dumb and Dumber movie that came out where the actors are really, really old, but they're playing young characters-ish, young attitudes. Was there any of that like, they're just too old for this now?
No. 100% all the jokes were about how old they were.
Okay, good.
No, that's the point. No, the point is that they're horrible losers. That they are old.
Okay.
And nothing's really changed.
Good.
They're completely... All right.
There's no shame in these guys anyway.
No shame at all.
Yeah.
100%. Now, that's actually funny. And Kevin actually says this up on stage. You know, you're going to be surprised because when you see one of these movies, the one thing you don't expect is to have your heartstrings tugged. You do not expect to have an emotional investment in
something.
Interesting. And Jay's relationship with his daughter and how she doesn't know who he is until the very, very end.
Yeah.
That is seeing this traditionally simple character struggle with fatherhood and reality and time actually has some impact, which is pretty
shocking.
I
totally get that. I got the same response that I wasn't expecting from Jackass Bad Grandpa. Like, the movie I thought was going to be stupid. It was stupid, and it was ridiculous and graphic all over the place.
Yeah.
But it actually had, like, a real plot that moved along and had some heart to it about family dynamics.
It's like,
and I wasn't expecting that, and it was a delight.
Why is this chocolate in my peanut butter?
Yes.
This is delicious.
Oh, this is delicious.
So that's a four for me because
nice.
I'm a huge fan. It's a one for anyone who doesn't like that stuff.
So would have been a four if they weren't there hosting it?
But that's just my fan. That's my fanboy four.
Okay.
It was fun. Okay. It was really funny. There's tons of laugh out loud moments. everyone who has ever been involved in any of his movies cameo in this. I mean,
everybody. Okay.
Everyone. They completely wrap up the loose end. That is Matt Damon from Dogma. Did he die at the end of Dogma?
Gotcha.
He did not. So what is he doing now? Of course, he's selling insurance.
Was God from Dogma in this?
That is the one person that did not get Alanis.
Okay.
They referenced her multiple times because obviously Jay and Silent Bob have met God.
But
she was the one person who didn't show up.
One of the greatest cameos in all of movie history, by the way. That wasn't advertised in the trailers. And you're like, is that Alanis Morissette? It was like, and it's so great because you don't expect it. No one would have guessed that.
Right, 100%.
In that movie, 2001, whenever it came out?
I don't even remember.
A long time ago. We're showing our age here.
The best part was Rufus, the 13th Apostle. Chris Rock's best role. So, all right. So that is a 4 for both of us.
Yeah, man.
For Jojo Rabbit. That's a 4 from Ben for Dr. Sleep.
So good.
And that's
so
a
good.
4 and or 1 from Damien for Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Yeah, very good.
If I'm
movies.
Being honest with myself, it's a 3. Let's be honest, it's a 3. But lots of different things going on. We're trying to see as many of these movies as we can. They're actually throwing two movies at us a week now.
A lot now. Midway's out, of course. Yeah. You saw Ford vs. Ferrari. I haven't seen that. You've got Motherless Brooklyn still hanging out there. You've got, like I said, Oscar season's there. We're a month away from Star Wars. I mean, things are happening in very quick succession now.
You saw they moved Jumanji up a week, so that's
Did
good. We
they?
Won't have that conflict anymore.
Oh, goody.
We'll be able to watch Jumanji the week before.
Oh, Danny DeVito and Danny, what's the other guy's name?
Glover?
Glover, thank you, yes.
He is too old for this shit. Yeah. So anyways, listeners, again, check us out on Spotify, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts,
or Google
Play. Hit us up on AlanSmithyReview.com or on AlanSmithyFilmReview. We had an excellent comment from Mr. Cavallis on that movie.
Which one?
I don't remember.
So many.
Yeah.
He comments on a lot of them. Terminator.
Terminator,
Dark Fate.
If you get a chance, listeners, go check out his comment. He really put me to shame, at least, in terms of really going deep into this.
He wants to get on our podcast.
That.
He's up in Knoxville, but we want to get him on a podcast one of these days because he has a lot to say, and he's very well-spoken and well-written. So we want to hear and respect his views on things. And he really did lay it all out there with Dark Fate. So
check that comment out. Even our comment section is on fire, so be sure to check out AlanSmithyReview.com. Hit us up on Facebook. Otherwise, coming from the Mustang Studios, this is Damien.
This is Ben, the evasive making you talk.
We will see you all next time.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Gott nicht.
Nein, 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 schnell, schnell, schnell.
Schnell, schnell, schnell.